explaining the word and agreeing in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord. We declare and decree this morning that as we go into the world, our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. There is no confusion as the word of God is taught this morning. There is no confusion. The truth of God's word is taught in accuracy with precision. And at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are dealing with a very interesting series called Generosity, God's Divine Plan. Generosity, God's Divine Plan. You know, and we've been doing this throughout the month of November, and we're trying to explain God's word concerning certain realities. You know, and trust has been enlightening. You know, we've handled the first fruits. Is that true?
Yes,
have we handled the first fruit? Yes, we've seen the first fruit to be people. Is that true? We saw that not a single time are we instructed, you know, by Jesus or the apostles to give all your income as first fruits. Now, is it wrong to give all your income? But the moment you give all your income, it has what? Yeah, that's right. I like that. Yeah. Once you put your hand in your pocket and drop all your income, what has happened to it? It has gone. As saints and as a church, we are called to teach definite things. Definite things. You know, we're called to teach particulars. You know, I always say this. Any message a pastor should preach, yeah? Two things I used to gauge myself when I'm teaching God's word. What I'm saying, if Bill Gates and Dangote sit down there, can they listen and be discipled under it? Secondly, if I'm teaching and Jesus comes back in the flesh and he sits quietly, can I teach Jesus to Jesus? You know, so I use that to get, so as saints, anything I say as a pastor, I know that you are God's flock. I am just privileged to, you know, shepherd, you know, while on earth. But you are God's flock. So I must not play with your heart. I must not play with you. So if I teach a message that Dangote or Tedola cannot sit down and listen to, if you are teaching that God wants to take you from zero to hero, that's not the gospel of Christ. Yeah, if you're teaching that God wants to give you a better life, God wants to give you a better job, a better house, that's not the gospel of Christ. Yeah, because what does that mean? It means that if the likes of Dangote should sit down, what would they say? They're not talking to me. You know, if Dangote sits down here, for instance, now, and all of us put all our prayer points inside basket, you know, you can answer all of them. Are you laughing? Write all your prayer requests. Write it. Yeah, write it inside below and put it inside basket. You know, imagine Dangote just say, we call on Daddy Dangote. We now call Osha Esther, Osha Nengi. The old one basket here, old one basket here. Daddy Dangote will say, give me one. This one too will pick her on. Sister Ubong, 10 million. I see she wants 10 million naira, but I can make it 10 million US dollars. Everybody now shout, glory! The word works! The word works, it's working. Is it working? Is it working? Oh no, no, oh no, no, oh no, no, oh no, no, is it working? You not pick the next level of Bracken. Bracken says he wants to study in Canada. Sister Esther Willie. No, it's Canada. Canada, Sister Esther Willie, Canada. You know what? You just call one guy, Abdul. Give my phone. You call pilot Abraham. I say, take out my private jet to Canada. Just drop her there. When she gets to immigration, just Dangote. Or Dangote. A lot of times, what we see God as is who a man really is. You know what she says? Only God can do what no man can do. Oh, no, no. When you sing such songs, it's salvation. You get contract over the week. That contract you got, it was a man that gave you. Right? Uh-huh. Okay, yeah, you remember that? Remember that? So any message we teach, the poor and the rich must sit down and learn of it. So when you have a crossover service, for instance, and you say, this year is your year of divine breakthrough, if Dangote sits in that, what will he say? I am the divine breakthrough. I am he who was, and is, and that is to come. You know, so it's unfortunate that we rather hold on to false hope than to explain God's word for what it is. Are we together? So as a church, we are people who are given to sound doctrine. Yeah, all those, if you want God to, you know, there's someone here, you've been stagnant. You want God to take you. God says you should give 118. You know, I've not wondered. You are in Nigeria, you are collecting 118 US dollars. Why didn't you read some 118 and say 118 naira? Or no value. Why didn't you read some 150? Ask you to bring 150 kobo. You know, it's unfortunate you have 5,000 children of God gathered under one roof. And God wants to bless only 10 of them. But before he blesses the 10 of them, they have to give. Hallelujah. Yeah? Yeah? That money in your hand that cannot meet your need, you sow as a seed. When you are suffering, you check your offering. And if you don't want your life to be tight, you want to pay your tithes. If seed sowing works, tithing works, Nigeria should not be the poorest country in the world. No other country gives tithe. No other country sows seed like Nigeria. Are we together? So why are we explaining God's word? Not so that you stop giving, but so that you know why to give. Are we together? Yeah? See, the truth is that when you hear God's word concerning giving, a lot of people reduce their giving. Pastor, I say there's no devourer. Pastor, I say, you know, so you know that people who generally they give all their salaries. Is there anything wrong in doing that? No, but you must know why you are giving it. You know, and they suffer throughout February to December. You know, 2020 is a miraculous year. Because it shocked a lot of people. It shocked a lot of people. Some people, when the lockdown came, they'll be regretting giving their first fruit. Because your office called you and said, we are letting go. You know, but we pastor, what do? We encourage you the more into error. Hold on to God. Get back to your room and tell him that my life cannot be tight. For I'm consistent in my tithe. For the word says, when you give God 10, he will take care of the 90. It's a lie. There are people who give their 10% and they use their remaining 90% to treat their health. For when you give God your tithe, there will not be devourer. It's a lie. You know what I said? It's a liar. Yeah? Why do you give? Whether you call it 10% or 100%, you give because you have a generous heart. We looked at that on Sunday. You know, our brother that taught us last week Sunday. And I was teaching about an extension of the believer's giving based on God's generous giving in Christ Jesus. So why do you give? You don't give to be blessed. Let me say this. You can write this down. As saints, we don't give to meet our needs. We give to meet the needs of others. As saints, we don't give to meet our needs. We give to meet the needs of others. Are we together? We don't give to meet our needs. We give to meet the needs of others. So, a Christian must have a mindset that when he gives, he has got. So, what should give you joy when you give? What should give you joy when you give is that when you give to someone else and the person's needs are met. Not when you give to somebody else and more money comes back to you. No. The true joy of a believer is when he gives as an end in itself. So as saints, we are the body of Christ, the church. We give as an end in itself. You know, so people reduce their giving when they hear people like us teach about, you know, teach God's words concerning giving. Yeah, we explain all scriptures that possibly have issues. You know, we're talking about, have you seen people, I've been to a meeting where they say, how old are you? How old are you? You say you are 15. They say give 10,000 per every year of life, for every year you've lived on earth, so that God can keep you far and beyond and all those kind of things. And you know why that thing works for us? Because Nigeria is in poverty and a lot of us like self-deceit. Are we together? Yeah? In God's palace, if you are giving all your money for your salary for January, make sure that as you are singing, you know, don't be singing and saying, Whatever goes, we come back. Whatever goes, we come back. Whatever goes, we come. No, no, no. Once you are giving, you say, you are singing, it has gone, no, it has gone. It has gone, no, it, OT, OT, it has gone, no, it has gone. It has, because it has gone. Let me tell you something. See, if you want me to pray with you or for you, come and meet me. I'll pray for you free of charge. But don't say you want to seal the prayer I prayed with seed. I always tell people, when people give me, I said, I hope you are not expecting anything. Because if you are looking for fruitful ground, my life might not be too fruitful. So, when you give, and I, you know, I always say something. Let me not lie to you. I always say it, and I say it again. It is sweet to collect people's money. Mom, is it not true? Mom, say yes. You know, when you have money in your account that you didn't work for, it's easy to spend. Normally, when you go to the public, you say, combo. They even know you. Combo. But this day, somebody gave you money. They already packing your combo. You know? Give me 3 plates of salad, you know, and the proper refuel meal max. I say it. For me to have believed that seed sowing works, I was insincere with myself. You know, this is my dear friend and brother. You know, we've been together for about 8 or over 8 years, and we've seen ourselves grow and outgrow. You know, we've given. You are laughing. We've given. Hallelujah. So, while we explain these things, not to say that it is wrong for the saints to give, but for the saints to understand why to give. Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. I just did a recap of this series. You know, Matthew's Gospel 28:18. And Jesus came unto them, saying, in all authority, that word the power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That word there, teach, means to what? Make people disciples. So go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we said something, in the entire Bible, the only place where you have the name of the Father, name of the Son, and name of the Holy Ghost is Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 19. As saints, what we have is the name of the Son on account of the reputation of the Son. What we have is the name of the Son. So the name of the Father is equal to the name of the Son, equal to the name of the Holy Ghost, which is equal to the name of the Son. Yeah, Jesus is the Son who gave himself, that is God giving himself to mankind. So he says, go ye therefore and teach. That word there, teach, means to make people disciples. He now says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. We've done a full series in church of close to 20 hours, 20 hours, explaining baptism. So, we looked at that word baptism or baptizing them as a figurative expression for what? Teaching them to observe in verse 20. Teaching them to observe is what he mentioned in verse 19 as what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father. And we saw that Jesus taught for how many days? 40 days. So, upon Jesus' resurrection, he taught for 40 days. Where did he teach from? Scriptures. Luke 24. Luke 24 verse 24. Certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Yeah? Why did Jesus call them fools? Because they were slow of heart to believe. What were they to believe? All the prophets spoke. What did the prophets speak? Verse 26, sorry. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So it means that a good way to read Genesis to Malachi is saying, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory. So Christ was to suffer these things. That has been the message from Genesis chapter 1. Are we together? We saw that in seed form in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. You know, things like that. So ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. See what happened in verse 27. And beginning at Moses. What does that mean? Beginning at the writings of Moses. So, a good way to read that will be beginning at the beginning. Where is the beginning? Genesis, in the beginning. So, what did Jesus do for 40 days? Beginning at Moses and the prophet Isaiah, Ezekiel, Nahum, Haggai, Malachi, Obadiah, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Zephaniah. Yeah, so, and beginning at Moses and the prophet, what did he do? He expounded unto them the things concerning himself. So when Moses wrote, he wrote about who? Jesus. Look at John 5:46. Look at John 5:46. Look at John 5:39 first. Ye search the scriptures. Who is talking here? Jesus Christ. You search the scriptures, for in them you think they you have eternal life, but they are, let's read that together, the second part, and they are. So, scriptures testify of one person. Look at verse 46. For had they believed Moses, Jesus said, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. So, when we read Genesis chapter 1, who was Moses writing about? Jesus. So, when you say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, who should you see there? Jesus. That's why we're doing series like this. Are we together? What are we dealing with as a topic? Generosity. Why are we going through all these foundational things? It's because we're trying to explain those scriptures that looks like, you know, let me say it this way. We're trying to explain those so-called faith confession scriptures. Yeah, so the truth is that no matter how much you do faith confession, there are principles on earth to acquire wealth. Do miracles happen? Yes, but there's no, you see, some miracles we share in this country is because there's no law. Think about it. Why are you sharing testimony that you are, I was below age and they just employed me? Why say it in US now? You know, I told you of an example of a man that was trying to share testimony. Oh, I didn't even apply for the job. They gave me a job in that top company. And the MD of the company was watching the testimony. Say, my company. The next Monday morning, what do you do? He sacked the new employee. He sacked her before the employer that sacked her. Sacked the person that reviewed her certificate. Sacked the auntie that gave her. If somebody helped you to get a job, just acknowledge. This brother, no, so he connected me to the director. Simple, there's nothing wrong in that. But what to always mystify everything that happens to us. As I was just working, someone just called me. You know, I was sharing a testimony with you over the week. You know, one lady, summary of the story. The guy was saying, he came into Abuja, wanted to buy his house. But he didn't have the money. I said, okay, I'm listening to the story. He now said, God said he should give a mechanic money for his house rent. I said, okay. He now met the mechanic and the wife. Oh, let me give you. He gave the mechanic 150,000 naira. Gave the mechanic the 150,000 naira. You know, and the mechanic few days after now called. So he was sowing the seed to mechanic so that he can buy his house all of a sudden. He now said 2 days after, God now told him, go and give that mechanic the complete money for the rent. It's 250,000. He gave them the 250,000 naira. He now said 3 days after, his father just called him and gave him 26 million naira to buy a house. I said, oh, wow. Interesting. Your father can close his eye and open his eye and give you 26 million naira. And you said your principal worked for you. And I told the leader, I said, if for us to know that place that's worked, they should go and call the family that the mechanic sold seed into for God to answer the prayer through that man. You know, we like to demystify things. The guy started telling the lady, see, there's a principle. He works, see, so he works. Why are you deceiving yourself? People don't just get money from nowhere. Okay, people get money from nowhere. We know. But you see, may I never be a pastor of a church where all of you wake up on Monday morning, just get salary from nowhere, you see, it's a miracle. You know what that means? You know, people, they say, when they just wake up, just 500,000 in their account. Oh, God of miracle. Now, my papa, What does a wise and diligent student of the world do? You call the bank and find out where the money came from. Because there's no money in heaven. You know, so, a lot of things we call miracles, you know, I sowed the seed today and it worked. I think I said it here. You know, someone was looking for a contract to click, and the person wanted to give me money, but the person did not give me the money, you know, and the person finally got the contract. And I said, can you imagine? You know, if you had given me that money before you got the contract, you say it's because of my latch is fatai. You know what I now told the person that the father gave 26 million? I say, if he sure you that the it's because you sow seed, give every 26 million. Yes, it has to be estate. If he sure you, go and drop everything. So if seed sowing works, it's just like a hobby. You give 500,000 naira, They give you 1 million naira. What do? You drop everything. If it works that way, why don't you keep dropping? Nobody should be poor. Because all you need is 500 naira to start. Do you know what they call compound interest? You just become 100 naira. 500 naira to start. It's sure for you. Before now and the next year ending, you celebrate Christmas in Canada. Drop 500. Drop 500, 1K. You drop 1K, 2K. You drop 2K, 4K. When you drop 100K, 200. You drop 1 million, 2M. Well done. Listen, so if you claim it, your so-called principle works. Why is it that when you get the reward, you keep it in your pocket? Just drop it. Hallelujah. So what did Jesus do? He says, for I did believe Moses. And you know something? People that teach about seesawing, they have scriptures in the Bible to use to teach it. What did Jesus say? I did believe Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses wasn't teaching you how to make money. No, Jesus didn't teach us how to make money. You don't need to be a Christian to learn how to make money. You know the principle, you know how to make money? Labor. Go and work. Do miracles happen? Yes. There is not a single miracle that has happened to a Christian on earth that hasn't happened to someone who is not a Christian. Not one. No, one guy was going to go and do evangelism one day. He said, come on, if a life without Christ will be full of crises. I was meeting one Muslim brother like this. He was telling him, see what God did for me, God did for me. When the guy broke down his own miracle, the person that broke down his own miracle is the one that is not in Christ though. When he broke down his own miracle, the guy that was doing for evangelism realizes he's in crisis. He realizes he is in crisis. So there's nothing like a life without Christ. A lot of times, a life with Christ is usually full with crisis. Why? Because the corner way you used to get money, you shouldn't do that. So you remain poorer. Can a Christian be poor? Very poor. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. You know that scripture that says, he was poor that I might be rich. No. Look at what Paul said here. He said, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. If you read only verse 1, you would think that God gives people grace to make money. But let's see the grace God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. Look at verse 2. Please, let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. And yeah! Sorry, go back to verse 1. Who are people in deep poverty? The churches of. Go back to verse 2. Let's read again together gradually. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep. You know when they say you have deep poverty? Deep poverty. Look at what happened. They are bounded unto the riches of their liberality. What were they in? Deep poverty. What did they do? What did the grace of God enable them to do? To abound. Riches to God is not how well you acquire. Riches to God is how well you can exhibit liberality. So, you know that prayer I always pray? Yeah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Declare and declare that my heart are receptive to the truth of God's word. Yeah, riches of liberality. Yeah, that's the verse we get it from. What were the churches of Macedonia in? Deep poverty. What did Paul not say? Sow seed so that you can live deep poverty. Nobody gets richer by giving. What did Paul acknowledge here? They were in deep poverty, but the grace of God, yeah, like we learned last week, that God's grace in Christ is an example for us towards our believers, other brethren. But what happened? They are bounded unto the riches of their liberality. So it means that every saint has received God's forgiveness of sins by the riches of liberality dispensed in Christ. By that we have an example. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. What happened? They were in deep poverty, they are bounded to riches of liberality, and what? They gave. They gave willingly. What is Paul doing? Paul is using the example of a church in deep poverty and their giving style to teach the Corinthians who are richer. Are we together? Let me say that again. Paul is using the example of the liberal giving of the churches of Macedonia to teach a church that is richer. What did Paul not say? They are in deep poverty because they didn't give. You see that? He is teaching they are in deep poverty and they gave. Not they are in deep poverty because they didn't sow seed. Look at verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty. You know what that means? Look at it this way. I'm poor. I'm deeply poor. Right? This is a pastor. And these are a flock of people that need money. I'm deeply poor. Yet, I have only 1,000 naira in my account. Yet, I'm giving you 800 naira and I'm begging you to collect it. Not because I want my deep poverty to go, but because I want your needs to be met. Are we together? They were praying us with much entreaty that we should receive their gift. Please now receive our gift. They were not saying, please receive our gift so that our life will change. No. It is please receive our gift because we are God's grace has been bestowed upon us and we are giving as a response to God's grace in us. Pray for us and take upon the fellowship of the missionary saints. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. It is, see, first of all, before you give, you must first give yourself to the Lord. You know, you hear people say things like, the wealth of the Gentile shall be transferred. The wealth of the Gentiles. Yeah. The wealth of the Gentiles. Brother, imagine you've labored all your life to build a company for 20 years, and you are not a Christian. And you hear one number of people in one room shouting with bell. And they're shouting, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to my pocket. And they start calling your name. What do? You call Paul. Call police. You know, so because that's actually robbery. Yeah, because in the real sense, it takes a you know, I always say something, it takes a covetous heart to say amen to some prayer. No, does the gospel need money? Yes, but there's a way the gospel wants the money you have to give. When you give towards the gospel, you give. Look at what happened in their deep poverty. What is Paul teaching here? That no matter how poor you are, you can still give. It means that no matter how rich you are, you can still give. It means that when you hear God's word about giving and you reduce your giving, what does that mean? It means that what you've always been giving into your fears. Because they told you that give your tithe, God will rebuke Devorah. No. Yeah. Remember, what did Jesus say in John 5:46? If you have believed this, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So now, who was the first person to write about tithe? Moses. He wasn't there in Genesis when tithe was given by Abraham to Melchizedek. But who was the first person to write it? Moses. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed. So it means that Moses was using tithe to teach about Jesus. The same way we've looked at Moses using first fruit to teach about Jesus. Moses used tithe to teach about Jesus. Moses used offerings to teach about who? Jesus. So it is how we read those things that determines what we understand from scriptures. Are we following this morning? Let's pay little attention to a few things. You know, look at Psalm 24 verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein are the Lord. How many of us have cars here? You have a car. Please come. Your car. Who bought it?
I did.
Did he say God did? Your car. Who bought it?
I did.
Who owns the car?
Me.
Sorry. On your documents in the car. When they wrote expiring November 2021, whose name is there? God Chuku. Okay, Chuku is God. Okay. Your name?
Yes, my name.
So, who owns it? Me. God Chuku. Okay. Sure. Go to Haggai 2:9. Look at verse 8. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. The silver is his. The gold is his. Is God saying that he owns the silver? Let me ask a question. If you go to the market and buy gold, original gold, £25,000, who owns it? Who owns it? Who owns it? Look at verse 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord. So, the narrative of the utterances of Haggai was about a house to be filled with glory. Skip verse 8 and go to verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, the glory of the latter. You know, people say this now. Yeah, don't worry. When you just graduate, just pick a job. They're paying 50,000 naira. Confession is the glory of the latter shall be greater than that of the former. Do you think, now, what did Jesus do when he started reading Haggai? He explained himself from scriptures. So what would be the glory of the latter? So can we say the glory of the church? The glory of the new creation? So now, did God create the universe? Yes. What is Haggai saying? Haggai is acknowledging that what? There is a glory of silver and gold. And there's a glory of the latter house. Did God create the universe of silver and gold? Yes. Find it in a place you have to believe. Who owns it right now? The people that bought it. When God created the universe, he didn't put value on properties. It is men over the years that began to put value on properties. So who created silver and gold? God. Are they his now? Find it in a place you have to believe. No. But what is he saying? The glory of the latter house. What is latter house? We are now the temple of God. Yeah, Acts 7:48 shows us. It says, God never dwells in temples made with hands. Yeah, where does God dwell? In you. So the glory of the new creation is greater than that of the first creation. Do you get that? What is the first creation? The plants, the gold, the silver. What is the latter glory? The house, you. We are indwelt of God. God dwells in us. So when a guy says, for the silver and everything is mine, no, you must pay attention to what he says just before and what he says after. So the glory of this latter house, what is this latter house? The believer. Luke 24, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Yeah, remember that teaching? Entering into his glory means entering into a place for the very first time. Where is that place God entered for the very first time upon resurrection? The heart of man who believes. If the earth is the Lord's, it means that including Buhari's cow is for the Lord. Yes, God established the creation of the universe. But with that establishment of the creation of the universe, there's a greater creation to be created. What is that? The new creation. Are we following this morning? So, when you buy gold, it is yours. So, the glory of the latter, or the glory of this latter house, will be what? The saints. Are we together? So what is Haggai doing? Move your attention from the physical things God created to the spiritual things God created. What are the physical things God created? The gold, the silver, the diamonds. What is spiritual thing God created? The new believer. Now my father owns the entire world. And I'm his son. And he will give me everything I ask for. Dear saint, how many times have you received everything you ask of? No, we've done that teaching on ask, it shall be given unto you, seek, it shall find, knock, it door shall be opened unto you. What is that teaching about? Salvation. Yeah? How many of us have received everything we've asked? Let me see your hand there. You've received everything you've asked. So you don't say, the earth is for my father. I'm my father's son. I have an inheritance. No. The new creation does not include physical, material prosperity. The creation of the new creation does not include money, houses, clothes, cars. If that is what Christ died and resurrected to give us, it's shameful on Christ. For Christ to resurrect to give you what men could have without him. I say this thing, most people that I know that believe that Christ died for riches are poor. They cannot meet their needs. Most, when I'm saying most, I'm one who is careful using some and a few a lot. Yeah, I'm saying most. What does that mean? It means that if you have 10 people, 9 of them, 8 of them are poor. No. So for Christ to die to give you what mankind could have before his crucifixion and resurrection is shame on Christ. You have to be a Christian. Look at it. I started serving God. All my life changed. All my job changed. I started getting everything. Christ began to... But somebody that doesn't even believe in your God has more than you. The person you are saying gave you a miracle is a Muslim. It's your CEO. You know, Pastor Jacob was given an example of, you know, someone who said, you know all those names? You know what's the name of Ogunremi? Give me a popular name of those names that people used to change. Ifajogun. Ifabamiche. Yeah? Ifabamiche. You don't change it to Jesu Bamiche. Yeah, so imagine a brother, his name was Ifabamiche. Ifa is a god in Yoruba kingdom. So Ifabamiche, so one pastor now told him that, and say, before your life is tied to that name. Give me another example of Ifabamiche. Ifa Shanu, beautiful. Ifa Shanu, yes, you are there. Glory. See how he's doing that, see he's not trans. He's okay. Yeah, Ifa Shanu, what is the new one? What is Christ, Jesus Shanu? One guy, his name was Ifa Shanu. One pastor told him that he must change his name before he starts progressing in life. He changed his name, he now got a job. He started sharing testimony. Praise Master Jesus! You know, the word of the Lord came to me straight and sharp. And he says, change your name from Ifa Shanu to Jesu Shanu. And I got a job, miraculous job. They now asked him, what's the name of your oga? His name of his oga is Ifa Bamiche. That's the name of his oga. You need to change your name in Christ to get the job of a man who is bearing Shango name. You see, it doesn't make sense. You see, it doesn't make sense. You see, the name you call your child follows your child. What's the meaning of riches? What's the meaning of God give me riches in Yoruba? A name. What do they call people that the translation is God give me riches? Oluwa Fumilola. Oluwa Fumilola. That means God gives me riches. Is that right? How many Oluwa Fumilola are poor? So, the name, no, in as much as it's good to call, see, just give your children names you like. You should call you this. God say, my child is Abraham, for I see that you'll be a father of many nations. God say, my daughter's name is Sarah, for Sarah you shall say her. Glory to the Lamb. Yeah, if you like a name, call. See, go and look for. I'm a fan of giving people Tush names. Elizabeth. Okay, so I think I'm shorten it to San Lizzie or Beth. Yeah, Beth. Beth Yusuf. Beth Yusuf. You doing? How you doing? Yeah, so when it says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former, what is it teaching about? The glory that is embedded in the believer is greater than the new or the creation that God created, yeah, in Genesis chapter 1. So, did God create the universe? Yes. Was Moses teaching about the creation of the universe? No. Let's pay attention to a few things in Genesis before we go this morning. Are we learning something this morning? Yeah, you have to learn. Look at Ephesians 1 again. Look at Ephesians 1:16. Where we read verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding, remember Paul is praying, that the eyes of understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So, what is the inheritance in the saints? The inheritance in the saints is limited to the saints. Go to verse 3. Go to verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God that is, remember that teaching? Yeah? Blessed be the God, and he's not saying God and Father. No, it is God that is Father. Yeah, that word there, and, is usually a word kai, which means, or used to explain what was said before. For instance, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit is equal to what? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is the love of God, which is the supply of the Spirit. Yeah, for a man to be born again, he must be born of water and the Spirit. He's not saying born of water and Spirit. It is born of water that is the Spirit. So when you see, blessed be the God that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It takes insincerity to think that I'm speaking about physical blessings. The word there, spiritual, is there. Oh, blessed be our God who has blessed us. Oh, glory, 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 glory. I'm a blessed man. When you say you are a blessed man, is it good to say yes? But the blessings you have are spiritual. This blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with all spiritual things. It means that the blessings that God has given through Christ, they are limited to only the saints. Listen to this attentively. If you have any so-called thing called blessing, and an unbeliever and a Muslim can have it, it means that it's not part of the spiritual blessings God has given you. Let me say that again. Anything you own, and you so-called call the blessing of God, if another man who is not a Christian can have it, is not part of this Ephesians 1 verse 3. Don't live in self-delusion. The blessings, the spiritual blessings that God has given Christ, they are only found in men who are in Christ. They are only limited to men who are in Christ. So anything on earth that you don't have to be in Christ to have is not part of the blessings that God has made available in Christ. So it means that if you can own a house, another a Muslim can own a house, that house is not part of the blessings in Christ. What is that thing that you have as a Christian that a Muslim can never have? You are righteous forever. A Muslim can never have it. You are sanctified forever. A Muslim can never be that. You are holy forever. Your sins are forgiven forever. A Muslim can never be that. That's the blessedness of God in Christ Jesus. After Paul now enlightened in verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, he speaks about the indwelling of the Spirit in verse 13 and verse 14. He now says that, I pray that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see. See, that's why we pray it in God's palace, because it is too powerful that we need to keep beholding. It's not something you just do one prayer. No. You need to keep beholding. Keep beholding. Keep beholding. Look at verse 19 where we are. And what is the, that you might know, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards words? So, the greatest greatness or the greatest great, how do I say that? Let me use the number one. The powerful power of God's power is towards who? The believer. So, when you're looking for God's power, where do you look for? The saints. Lift your hand and say, I'm full of God's power. I'm full of God's power. Hallelujah. You are an extension of God on the earth. So, he says that you might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us words who believe according to the powerful power of his mighty power. Glory to God. So, God created the universe. Yes or no? Yes. Did God create a new creation? Yes or no? Yes. What did Moses do? Moses used the creation of the old of the earth to teach about the creation of what? The saints. Let's pay attention to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, remember we did that teaching, right? We said that something, what you look at the sky, what you call heaven as the sky, where is it? It's on earth. Yeah? That thing you see that is blue is not heaven. It's not where God dwells. Yeah? But Moses used that word to teach the people who had hardness of heart. Are we together? So what you have on top, what you call heaven, is actually on earth, because people can travel out of earth and go into space. When you are in space, when you look down at the earth, what do you see? What you call heaven. Are we together? So when you see Paul, Moses says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What is he teaching about? The new beginning, that is the new creation, is involved or constitutes of heaven and earth. What will heaven be? Heaven is a way of Moses teaching about that which is unseen. And earth is a way of most teaching of what? That which is seen. So, the new, a good way to read Genesis chapter 1, remember that word in the beginning is what? Reshit, Bereshit, right? So, Reshit, that is firstly. Yeah, so in using firstly, he was teaching about another firstly. Do you understand? Yeah, but in the real sense, it is in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. So, it means that before even the creation of man, God's solution to sin and death was already made available. What was the solution? Let there be light. What is light? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, is he to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their hearts, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, shines. So, from Genesis chapter 1, we see what? The solution to sin and death. Now look at verse 26. Genesis 1:26. You might need to pay attention to those two teachings we did 2 weeks ago. And God said, let us make man in our image. After our likeness, let them have dominion over the fishes of the sea and things like that. Look at verse 27. So, God created man in his own... Are we following? God created man in his own image. Follow attentively. In the image of God, created he him. Male and female created he them. So, we have three personalities here. Number one, him. Number two, male. Number three, female. So, him is who? Okay, go to 2 Corinthians. That word, their image, is the Hebrew word teslem. Write that down. T-S-E-L-E-M. Hebrew word teslen, we looked at that 2 weeks ago, and the Greek word eikon, E-I-K-O-N. Teslen, T-S-E-L-E-M, that's the Hebrew word, and the Greek word, eikon, E-I-K-O-N. And what does it mean? It's a word that means to reproduce or to be reproduced in another format. It's a word that means to be reproduced in another format. Usually used for spiritual beings, you know, spiritual beings found in another form. I'll go over that again. Teslen, T-S-E-L-E-N, is the Hebrew word for image, and the Greek word is eikon, and it is used to be, is a word used when dealing with when one is being reproduced in another format, or when a spiritual being is found in another form. So if we say when a spiritual being is found in another form, can we say that is God found in another form? Which is found in the form of man. Are we following? Man? Yeah? So, now usually, you know, see this. When the encounters in the book of Acts were happening, what did they have as their scripture? Genesis to Malachi. When the encounters in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were being made, what did they have as their Bible? When Malachi was Malachi, what did they have as his Bible? Genesis 2, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, first five books. When Isaiah had scriptures, what did he have as the scriptures? Genesis 2, Deuteronomy, that's first five books. Where was Moses born? Exodus chapter 1, 2, 3. When the people of Israel were going through the promise, all those sea and all those things, what did they have as their scriptures? Genesis. When Genesis was happening, what did they have as their scriptures? Matthew. Nothing, right? So, but remember, Moses was born in Exodus, and the things that happened in Exodus happened before he wrote, because he was born in Exodus. Yeah. So, can we say the foundation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Revelations, and Romans is Genesis to Malachi? The foundation of Isaiah, Nahum, Ezekiel is Genesis to Deuteronomy. The foundation of Genesis to Deuteronomy is Genesis. The foundation of Genesis is Exodus. John 5:46, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So what did Moses do? How did Moses know the stories that happened in Genesis? Oral tradition. He was told, and he is to tell others. But out of what he was told, he didn't pick the entire story. He picked from the story to write about Christ. That's why you can never find in the Bible a teaching to explain who the other children of Adam were. Who Cain married. When Cain killed Abel, he was supposed to remain only Cain. Who did he marry? You don't have it in the Bible. Why? Because those stories were not told by Moses, because if you have believed Moses, you have to believe Jesus. Moses picked from the numerous stories to write about what? A person, Jesus. So, when Moses is writing about image, that word there, image, it means that the things in Exodus most likely have happened. He was born and he had seen. Moses was not a small boy when he wrote the Bible. Yeah? So, it means that he was a small boy who had grown and had seen the practice of idolatry. So that word there, image, is actually a word usually used for idols. What's the word? Teslem. What's the Greek word? Eikon. So when Moses used the word image, he was saying that God's representation in the earth will be in man's form. Why did he use image? Because he used the practices of men already established to teach about what? God's practice. That's how we saw on Wednesday. Did God give them the law? No. Did God ask Moses to give them the law? No. What did Moses know? Moses knew the gospel. Why did Moses give them the law? Because they were stiff-necked people who had no faith, who had their hearts waxed, grossly waxed. Are we together this morning? Are we together? So that word is usually used for idols or unseen beings, now using physical elements to represent the unseen. Follow attentively. Now, we said that God created man in his own image. Who is the image of God? Go to Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 3. It's long we came here. It's long we came here, right? Look at it. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet. Remember the teaching on leading of the Spirit. When God talks, it is clear. When you say God talks in diverse manners, where is the diverse manners found? Is it in the hearts of men or in what God said? Beautiful. You know, so is God light? Yes. When you see any form or atom of shadow, where is it found? Is it found in what God says or in the slant of the heart of men? So, was it God that spoke in sundry times? Yes. But was it God that spoke in diverse manners? No. So a good way to read that, which we've done exhaustively in God's palace, is that the prophets at sundry times spoke in diverse manners unto the fathers. God speaking has always been his message. God said, let there be light. That is the consistent message of God from Genesis 1 to Revelation. People saw diverse manners. Yeah, why? Because of the hardness of heart they had. So, did God give Moses the law to give the people? No. Moses gave the law because of the hardness of their heart. John 1:17. For the law was offered, supplied by Moses. But grace, that is the reality, came through Christ Jesus. So, the prophet who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past. Look at verse 2. So, go back to verse 1. Everyone, look at this. Remember, we removed this word. We removed this word, right? What's the word? So, what did we do? The prophets, at sundry times, in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers. What word did not come out again? God. So, let's put God and put in verse 2. Does it make sense? God hath in these last days spoken unto us. Are we following? See what he now says. Whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 2. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of. This is who? And can we say this is that is? Which is? So, Jesus, is that the Son? Is that the who? Jesus being the brightness of his glory, that is the revelation of God's glory seen in Christ. That is the express what? Image of his person. So, who is the image of God? Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 4. Hold on. Let there be light. Genesis 1, 3. So can you see Paul is teaching from Genesis 1, verse 3? Lest the light of... Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. So from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. There are those who the God of this world has blinded their minds. Who did Moses write it as in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Right? Yes? The earth was without what? Form and void. What was Moses writing about? Figurative for what? Those who the God of this world have blinded their minds. Can we say those who are stiff-necked? Can we say those who have no faith? Can we say those, Matthew 13, when Jesus said that those who their heart have waxed gross? So, lest the light, that is the gospel, light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So, who is the image of God? Are we together? Hebrews 1:1-3. Who is the image of God? Right. Who is the image of God here? Right. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1 verse 14. When you see in whom we have redemption through his blood, who is the in whom? Right. Are we following? Who is the in whom here? Right. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, that is the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the first begotten of the new creation? Remember that teaching, right? So who is the image of God? Christ. Go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Verse 27. Never forget. When Paul was writing Colossians, what was his Bible? Genesis to Malachi. That means Paul knew where Genesis 1 was written. A new way, rather. Yeah? So, Paul could open scriptures and read Genesis 1. So, when Paul read, God created man in his own image. Who is this image he's speaking about? Christ. He tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and tells you in Colossians chapter 1. In the image of God created he him. Who is this him that Moses was writing about? Think about it. When Jesus told you in John 5:46, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So when Moses said God created man in his own image, who is he speaking about? Christ. When he says in the image of God created he him, he didn't say in the image of God created he them. He said in the image of God created he him. He now says male and female created he them. What does that mean? The new creation which involves or involves male gender and the female gender are to be found in him. Are we together? Yeah, so male and female are to be found in him. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses was not here when, or was not at the beginning when Adam was created. But he heard of the story of Adam's creation and used it to write about the new creation. So what is Moses teaching in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27? And God created man in his own image, that is Christ. What is image? When an unseen being is being translated to a physically seen being or a different form that can be seen. So God, that is spiritual, became man, evidently put forth in front of men. Moses used that to teach about the new creation. So you see verse 28. He says what? And God blessed them. Who are the day that God blessed them? Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be our God who has blessed us with spiritual blessings in him. Follow. Right? So when he says, and go said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. What is that? Go ye into the world and preach the gospel. Are we here? Are we here? Matthew 28, where we started from. Yeah? So, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. That is what? Go into the world, except a seed of wheat falls to the ground. It abided alone. Are we clear on this? We've done this in the past few weeks. Look at Genesis 5 verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him. Who is it God is speaking about here? Look at it again. Please don't lose track. Please don't lose track. Don't be distracted. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Listen. Look at verse 2. Listen, oh. Male and female created he and blessed and called their name. So, this and called their name Adam, right? So, it means that in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we need to pay attention to when Adam is used. Not every time Adam is used speaks about what? Adam, the man, the husband of Eve. Why? Because we see male and female created he them, and he called their, not his. Their name what? In the day when they were created, follow attentively, verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years old and begat a son in his own. In his own. In his own. In his own. After. Did he say God's image? After his image and called his name. So there's the image and likeness of God and there's the image and likeness of man. I am in the image and likeness of my father. And I'm also in the image and likeness of God in Christ. Moses taught both of them. We are to pay attention to Moses' writing. What did Jesus say in John 5? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of Christ. Follow attentively. Follow attentively. So it means that. So go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. So what it says? John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word. Where is John teaching from? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. Look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst men. What is image? Image is a translation from the unseen to the seen. What is John writing here? He's writing about the image of God. Who is the image of God? Christ. Who is Christ? The Word. Who is Christ? The Word. So, the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld the glory of the latter. Haggai. Yeah? You there, right? So, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, really, the first begotten. Remember that teaching, first fruits. first begotten of the Father, full of grace, that is the reality. Are we together? So we see God. So Jesus is not God's messenger. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is the, look at Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, 6. Jesus is the university that explains God. Glory to God. Yeah. If you want to understand God, you must look at Jesus as the curriculum. Moment you see God outside Jesus, you will see a mysterious God who kills and gives life. So when people believe that God kills and makes alive, it is because they are viewing God out of his image, Christ. You cannot, anything you don't see Jesus do, God never does, has never done, and will never do. Else, our God is a double standard God, and our God is one who has a dual nature. He's good today, bad tomorrow. But God is always good from Genesis 1. Will you open your Bible and see that God led them to kill people? Yes. Was it God that led them? No. What led them? Hardness of their heart. Stiff-necked people. Look at Isaiah 9:6. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Remember, they would have thought that this government was National Assembly. God doesn't call people into politics. If you like politics, go and do politics. God doesn't send you. Don't say, I'm led. I'm like, God leads me. Look at government chairman before governor. No. God doesn't lead people. How do people win politics and election? You win by campaigning, convincing the people, or convincing the ballot boxes. It has to be done. You either convince the ballot boxes or the people. If you cannot convince the people well, you convince the ballot boxes. If you don't need to go to ballot boxes, you have to pay attention to convincing the people. God doesn't choose presidents or governors. Else, nobody should be in power except you are a Christian. For to us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Look at his name. The name of who? The son. What is his name? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So it means that God, that is Jesus, is God. Jesus is the everlasting Father. Jesus is the mighty God. Jesus is the Prince of Priests. And Jesus is the Son. So, did Jesus come? Let me not say what I want to say. We'll teach that next year. Teach that next year. So we see that, you know, Jesus Christ is the one, you know, that gives us clarity about the Son. So in listening to Jesus, we are listening to God. Are we together? Are we together? Let's do a quick one. Look at Exodus 4 verse 22. Let's do a quick study. Exodus 4:22, sorry. Look at what it says. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. follow saints. Thou sayest the Lord, you shall say unto Pharaoh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. When you see God, or when you see, now, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So, who wrote Exodus 4:22? Ideally, what was the foundation of what he was writing? Christ. So, when you see Israel is my son, would that be speaking about the country Israel, the person Israel, or the new creation Israel? Beautiful, we are following. Why do we know that? Because the next thing he says is, even my firstborn. When we explain the series of firstborn, can we say it's similar to first fruits? Can we say that Jesus is the first begotten from the dead? Yeah, so it means that in listening to Jesus, we listen to God. God, Jesus is the one who brings clarity to every gray area about God. So if you are confused about God, God gives and takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What do you look for? Look for where Jesus gave somebody and took somebody. Then you add it with blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we together? Are we together? You know, a lot of times when we are mourning people, we usually look at Luke 9:31. Look at Luke 9:31. I Are we there? Luke 9:31, quickly. Who appeared in glory and spake of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. See, this word there, disease, is the same word, Exodus. Yeah? Now, let's see verse 35. Remember, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. Israel is my son, even my firstborn. What did, remember we did, remember, I think I've done a teaching on this quickly, briefly. When I said, when John was at the river of baptism, trying to baptize Jesus, when that voice of, this is my son, I've taught it here, yeah, in person, right? When that voice, when you hear that voice, and this is my beloved son, hear him. It wasn't a voice spoken from the sky, but was a voice spoken from heaven, which was in Jesus. So by Jesus' utterances, that was where John knew what he heard. This is my beloved son. How do we know? Another encounter from the four gospels shows us that Jesus was speaking while he was about to be baptized. Get that? So utterances don't come from the sky. Utterances come from people. Are we together? So when you say, this is my beloved son, hear him, it means that from the utterances of Jesus, this statement was birthed. Is that similar to Israel is my son? Similar? So the Israelites that crossed, so when you see Israel in the Bible, what was Moses teaching? If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So when Moses wrote about Israelites, who was he teaching about? The new creation found in Christ. So when you see Israelites, they passed the Red Sea. What is Moses speaking about? A figurative expression to show that we are delivered from bondage into the promised land. What's the promised land? Christ. For Abraham looked for that city whose builder and maker is God. So we are in Christ, we are in God's city, we are in God's land. God doesn't have any special affiliation with the country Israel. Moses used the country Israel to write about God's Israel. Who are God's Israel? Those who believe the gospel. So when you sing that, that's why you sing that song. You split the sea so I can walk right through it. That's why we don't sing so I can walk right through it. Now I have walked right through it. Glory to God. You split the sea, now I have walked right through it. Yeah? Did you walk through any sea? What? I like that laugh. What Moses wrote about people walking through sea? Were you among them? What was Moses writing about? If you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. So what was Moses using the journey of Israelites through the sea to teach about? A group of people that are in the hands of the devil, the God of this world, will be delivered. So you never walk through a sea. But figuratively speaks about what? We walk through the Red Sea. So when you say, God will make that way, where there seems to be no way, I am the way, that is the truth, that is the reality, that is the life. So when you see, did God make a way for them to pass through the Red Sea? Yes, that there was a miracle. Don't fight it. But why did Moses write that story? To teach you that God will make a miraculous way, where there seems to be no way, and we will walk just right through the sea. If they say, I've walked right through the sea, I'm now in God's promised land. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So the signpost was Israel. Israel was used as a sign to point to God's Israel. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses wrote of Christ. Look at Psalm 2 verse 7. So if Jesus is God's son, yeah, so when we see, okay, look at Psalm 2 verse 7. I will declare the decree of the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. Who is that speaking about? Thou art my son. Israel is my son. Is it the same? Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Who is that speaking about? You know, Message translation says, thou art my son. Today is your birthday. Ask of me of anything. Look at, I will be standing in front of somebody, and they tell you that today is your birthday, and you agree that's your birthday. You forgot the date you were born. Even the day you were born again, was it that date? Is it that you were born again that date? No. When you read scriptures, you point to Christ. Look at Acts. Look at Acts. Acts 13. Acts 13, 32. Remember, the previous scripture I just read was what? Psalm 2. Look at Acts 13 verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath what? God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised Jesus again. As it is written in the second Psalm. Where did we just read? Psalm 2. It is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So why you come to him and say anything? Ask God for anything. Ask God for anything and he will give you. No, it doesn't work that way. Are we together? Look at Luke 4. Okay, let's not go into Luke 4. Look at. So, let me explain this. Now remember, was Jesus in the wilderness? Luke 4. The Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Is it not in your Bible? Where do we see the activities of the devil? From thin air or from the activities of men? So when you were seeing all those narratives that are saying, go to the high temple and jump, was it a voice from the blues that was talking or from the activities of men? Okay. Israel is my son. Yeah? Okay. Now look at this. The narration of the temptation is just to show that where Israel as a nation failed, Israel as God's son did not fail. You do get what I just said? Let me say that again. Remember, when you read about Israel, who is he speaking about? God's Israel. Yeah? And we have the first begotten, which is Christ Jesus. So when you see the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, in the activities of men, what is that simply trying to show? That where the men of Israel or Israelites failed, Jesus, who is God's Israel, God's son, did not fail. How did Jesus not fail? He responded to every temptation by, thou seest the Lord, or the scripture says. Let's begin to round up. You pay my attention that way on Sunday. You know, so that word there, son, is a word that means inheritance. You know, it's someone that inherits a word or inherits words, titles, or possession or promises. So the promises, or that's what I'm looking for. Or your promises are yes and amen. You know the God who never lies. How do we know God is not a God that you lie? Because from Genesis he said that there will be light, and Jesus came and showed us the light. Your promises are yes and amen. No, God's promises is not car. When 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians writes that, what does it say? The promises of God are yes and they are done, that is fulfilled in Christ. Not go and look for God's promises and be stamping with amen. No. The promise of God is what has been fulfilled to this day, Acts 13. Which the promises that were made unto our fathers have been fulfilled to us in their children. So God's promise has been consistent from the time. What does that mean? Man will fall, but I'm going to bring it. I have a redemption plan. Look at 2 Samuel quickly. 2 Samuel 7 verse 8. Now therefore, so shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people Israel. Right? Look at verse 12. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest. What the English. And have cut off all thy enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Verse 12. And when thy days shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. Who is the seed from John chapter 12 and Luke 24 and all of those things? Christ is the seed. So when he says set up thy seed, is that figurative for raise up? Rise again? So I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Which kingdom is God supposed to establish? The kingdom of God. Who established the kingdom of God on the earth? Christ Jesus. So, remember John 2 verse 9 when he says that destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise up. So, can we say that raise up is set up? Can we say that raise up from John 2:19 is set up here? Set up what? A seed. Who is the seed? Christ. Hallelujah. Let's end in Genesis 12. Let's end in Genesis 12 verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from the kindred and from thy house, father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. What is the land God will show him? We are here. We have been here. We have been here. Abraham looked forward to a city, looked forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. When you now see this written by Moses, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. So Moses says, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. The land will be who? Okay, look at verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. The great nation will be what? The new creation. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Follow attentively. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. When you see, so look at it. You know, we are very funny as Christians. You know, Christians praying, Lord, bless me to bless others. We are covetous. Lord, bless me to bless others. Why don't you pray, God, bless me and bless others? You want to be controlling people with your money. That's the only explanation. Bless me to be a blessing. God, you told Abraham, what does bless you to be a blessing for Abraham mean? Preach the gospel. So how is Abraham blessed? He's blessed in Christ. A saint is blessed in Christ. How does he be a blessing to others? He brings them into the fold. Remember on Sunday, we're learning something on Sunday. Blessing and curse. What does blessing mean? To welcome into. What does curses mean? To be out. So, I will bless thee and make thy name great. Look at verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee. Is he saying I will give people and curse him that cursed thee? And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What family would that be? Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Okay, we'll pay attention to this on Wednesday. Look at Galatians 3. Verse 14. Look at verse 13. Look at this. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Who are Gentiles? Would that be figurative for unbelievers? That the blessing of Abraham, what is the blessing of Abraham? Spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1 verse 3. Might come upon the Gentiles. How? Through Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, was there a promise made to Abraham? Who was that promise to? Those who will by faith receive. Look at verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereunto. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his. So, when Genesis 12 verse 3 tells us that you will be a father of many nations, he's speaking of those found in that seed. Or those that will be harvest of the seed planted. Are we following? Are we following? Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. If you read Genesis, if you read Genesis and did not understand that he was speaking about the new creation, you would think that Abraham is the father of all. Father Abraham had many sons had father Abraham. Are you one of them? So you are one. I'm not Father Abraham's child, I'm God's child. Abraham was used as an example to show how God's children would be. They would be God's children by faith. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promise made, or was the promise made, because it is one promise. The same promise made to Abraham in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, is the same promise in Genesis 3:15. The seed of a woman shall crush the heel, the head. So the promise of Genesis 3:15 is the same promise to Genesis 12 to Abraham, same promise to Isaac, same promise to Jacob. So when you say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, What I'm really saying is the God whose promise is consistent towards Abraham, towards Isaac, towards Jacob, now made manifest in Christ. Now to Abraham and his seed where the promise made. Now, if you do not understand Genesis, see what it says. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ, which are God's people. Yeah? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, I am part of that seed by faith in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 26. For ye all are children of... Did he say Abraham? Did he say Abraham? So, when he say, Abraham's blessings are mine, hallelujah. I am blessed in the morning, in the noon, in the evening. Abraham, what is the blessing of Abraham? That the promise of the Spirit might be received by those who were once outcasts, who have been welcomed into God's kingdom. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized. How many of you have gone into water baptism here? If you've not gone, let me see. If you've not gone, water baptism, let me see your hand. So, it means that our brother can be part of that scripture. Remember that teaching on baptism? How are you baptized? By believing the gospel. So, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, glory to God, not into water, you have put on Christ. Verse 28, for there is neither Greek, there's neither Jew, there's neither Nigerian, neither Congolese, yeah, there's neither bond, nor free, there's neither male, nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. We are one together in God's seed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So who is your father? Abraham or God? Have you been blessed this morning? What are we teaching? Generosity. Right? We are getting there. You know why we are doing this? So that when we start explaining, my God shall supply your needs according to his riches in glory, you don't miss the point. When we start explaining, give, it shall be given unto you, I will say it's about forgiveness of sins and not about money, you don't miss the point. So we're paying attention painstakingly to go through Genesis to Revelation. See you on Wednesday.